All right, so we're going to move on in the Gemara now, starting from Kuf Lamed Tes. We got up to Mordor. That was the last thing we did. So we're up to this Ezehu She'eno Mizuman. What we came up with, we said the Yone Hardesios. So we're trying to figure out what that is. And do we have a volunteer to read? Okay, go for it.
Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon, Chad Tani Hardesios, the Chad Tani Hardesios, Man the Tani Hardesios, Al Shein Fordus, Uman the Tani Hardesios. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, I don't know if there is a preferred way. Just get all the consonants in order.
I'll show you the code. So Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon debate like what the Mishnah says, whether it's Hadrasios or Hardasios. So the one that says that it's Hardasios, they're called that after a Fordus decay. And the one that says that it's Hadrasios, it's after the place. Amar of Kahani, Rav Kahana, sorry, Ladidi Chazion, V'kaiman Shitzar Dari V'pitei Mila, V'hava Kari Kiri Kiri. So Rav Kahana says, I like saw these Herodian doves, and they were like on, they were standing on like 16 rows that were like the length of a meal, and they were calling out like master, master, presumably like to Harod, like calling Harod their master, I guess.
Right, or even if not Harod himself, they were sort of trained to call out to whoever their master is, right? These were well-trained birds, and of course, like remembering the relevant halacha here, if they're domesticated, right, and they live in your house, then there's no mitzvah shiloh hakein, which makes sense that they, you know, the more well trained they are, the more obvious that becomes. Okay.
Okay. So hayachad minahu de lo hava kari kiri kiri amra la chaverta suma imri kiri kiri. So there was like one rebellious bird that wasn't calling out master master. So his friend said to him, like, you, or her friend said to her, you blind person, like, call out master master. Amra suma imri kiri biri. So she responds to him, like, no, you're the one who's blind, who doesn't understand. You should be calling out, like, master servant. Because Harod was, like, originally a servant before he became king. So Asuya the Shachtuba, so then the servants of Harod came, and they killed this rebellious bird. Amar of Ashi, Imri la Rabbi Chanina Milan. So Rabbi Ashi said, Rabbi Chanina told me that this story is, like, kind of like made up, like it's just words, it's not true. Milan's not the dice call, like, can we really say that it's just like words? Like, doesn't, like, it's Rav Kahana is like testifying about something, we're gonna doubt him, what he said. So Ella Ima ben Milan. So rather, say that what he meant was to say, like, that it was like through like words, like through like incantations or sorcery, that's how this, like, these birds were able to speak and how this whole story transpired.
Okay, great. And just a couple of notes on sort of the history here behind this, right? So Herod, interesting character. He built the Herodian temple. He built the Bayis Sheni. When we think about Bayis Sheni, we think about the version of it that Herod built. And I think 40 in the year 40, I think 40 BCE, if I'm not mistaken. Or, no, he started in 40. Was somewhat after that. Whatever it is, but he was sort of an interesting character because he presented himself as a Jew and king of the Jews. But it's not clear what his lineage is, and he really started off as a general first. So, you know, a bit of a complicated relationship. After him, all the leaders were actually Roman and had no pretensions to be Jewish, but you can see some of the tensions here as to whether he's legitimate or not, and the Gemara elsewhere that Rashi quotes that, right, and that's implied here about him being a slave as opposed to a real king. So that's implied here. Also, just another note on the Kiri Biri, or did people see there's another Girsa for the Biri? Maybe not everyone has it in their Mesoras Hashas, but at least some do. No? Sorry?
With a cuff.
Yeah, the alternative would be Kiri Kiri. Now, why would that, what's one reason that might be more likely to be the original?
It's more confusing.
Yeah, it's more confusing. They're closer. And then why would someone say Biri later on? Cuff looks like a bays, and
how the bird attracted the other bird.
Well, just before we get that, and like, once you get to a certain point, people stop pronouncing kuf and cuff differently, certainly in Ashkenaz, right? So the bird was supposed to say Kiri Kiri, and instead it said Kiri Kiri. What? It doesn't make any sense. It only makes sense when it was originally written, when people pronounce kuf and cuff differently, like I assume they did in the Middle East. So that probably Kiri with the cuff is the correct girsa. And does anyone know, has anyone encountered these words elsewhere outside of this Gemara and the parallel Rashi mentions, Kiri and Kiri or Biri? So the reason you haven't is because they're Greek, right? So Kiri with a kuf is like, like Jasper does have it, you have to look in the right place. He mentions it. That Kiri is like Kurios, which means master, That's with a kuf, with a kappa, with a k. And then the kiri with a kaf is keras, which is means to be a slave. So, and that's not a kuf. That's a kai, a kuf. Yeah, that's another indication. Yeah, that's another indication that it's not a base because the Greek doesn't work. And it's pretty clear this is Greek. I think even Rashi mentions something about in their language. It's pretty clear that that's what's going on here. We know that, these aren't normal Hebrew words. Was there some, did someone want to say something else before or another suggestion? Did you have something? No? Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So that, just a couple of notes on that before we move on. And again, the halachic ramifications are they're domesticated, therefore you're pater. They're in the house, but it's interesting. Interesting story thrown in. Okay, do we have a new volunteer for continuing going forward? Anyone?
I can volunteer. I can do it probably well. But
go for it. Go for it. Okay.
Okay, now I got to play. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Li, Rav Hanina, Milan. Oh, no, we said there. Oof, Tame, Pata, Milishla. Tame is
and by tame, what do we mean by tame?
Not kosher.
Not kosher, right. Okay.
Okay, I knew what this stood for, and I...
Mina?
Anili?
Yep.
Okay. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Kara, Ki Kari Kan Tibur, Lefanecha. So Rav Yitzchak says, but the Pasuk, Ki Kari Kan Tibur, Lefanecha, Oof Mashma, Lan, Bein Tahar, Bein Tameh. Who would have said, Oof, it sounds like whether it could be like kosher or not kosher. Tipur Tahar, Eshkechan. So we find that Tipur is referring to a Tahar bird.
Right, or just to read the whole line, right? Tzipor, as far as Tzipor, Tahor Ashkechan, the Ikri Tzipor. Tameh, Lo Ashkechan, the Ikri Tzipor. It's tough to parse that. Yeah, so what does that mean?
So when we find the word Tzipor, then it's referring to a Tahar, and by Tameh, we don't find that it's called Tzipor.
Right, so Tzipor is always a kosher bird. So that's how we know, right? It says, Kikari Kan Tzipor. You need to find the Tzipor that for this mitzvah to apply. And Tzipor means a kosher bird. Therefore, the mitzvah only applies to kosher birds. Okay.
Tashma. Well,
usually Tashma introduces a brisa. Here, the brisa also quotes Sukkim. Usually, but yeah, here I guess it's a pasuk. It's a little unusual, unusual for a Tashma. Okay.
Okay, Tav is called Tifur. So it's a prime pasuk that says Tav is called Tifur.
Right, and it's usher to make the form of different animals, right? So this is one example. Tanis called Tzibar Kanaf Asher to Uf Bashamayim, okay?
Okay, my love, Tzibar, Bein Tahar, Bein Tameh. So, so it's not saying that where a
Tzibar
could be, it sounds like a
Tzibar
here could be a Tameh or a Tahar.
Right, and the my love is like, isn't it? Right, my love, Tzibar, Bein Tahar, Bein Tameh, isn't this Tzipor here, whether kosher or not, like presumably it's usher either way to make, it's usher to make an eagle as much as it's usher to make a dove, in a form. Okay.
They kanaf chagavim lo tzipor tahar. I think it's saying that the word kanaf implies chagavim, which are not a kosher bird.
Right. Meaning, or chagavim is locusts. Right? So we're suggesting, my love, is it not the case as follows? Tzipor, Bein Tahar, Bein Tameh. The word tzipor implies kosher and non-kosher birds. Kanaf, Hagavim. And the word kanaf, which in pshat, tzipor kanaf, just means bird of wing. But the way we're darshing is separately. Tzipor is tzipor. Kanaf means wing. It's something else. So they're two separate things. Tzipor means kosher and non-kosher birds. Kanaf means locusts, which have wings. Is that not what it means?
No, it's not what it means. Tzipor, Tahar, Kanaf, Tameh, Hagavim.
Mm-hmm. How do we read it in the end?
So we read it that Tzipor is referring to Tahar and Kanaf is referring to Tameh and Hagavim.
Right, and that way the word Tzipor would not include non-kosher birds, and we've gotten around our problem. We still have our principle. Tzipor means kosher birds, okay?
So bring Pasuk also that has the word Tzipor, and my love, which isn't this Tzipor, Bein Tahar, Bein Tameh? So it's asking the same question. This Tzipor could be referring to Tahar and Tameh, but kind of Hagavim, Lo Tzipor, Tahar, Oh no, the Kanaf Hagavim and the Kanaf is referring to locust. Lo, we don't read it that way. Tipur Tahar. Tipur is referring to like kosher. Kanaf Tame the Hagavim and Kanaf is referring to Tame the Hagavim.
Right, meaning both non-kosher birds and those grasshopper locust things, right? This is a little odd, by the way, that, right, you can tell it's a bit of a forced answer because, like, what would you logically group together of these two, right? You'd obviously put birds and grasshoppers as opposed to kosher birds and non-kosher birds and grasshoppers. That's a less natural category. We're trying to answer the problem, right? We're trying to keep our principles. So technically, you can answer like that. It feels a little dachuk, but yeah, okay.
Okay, kashma, kol tikor, kol kanat. My love, kedemakshinon, like, so we asked him basically the same question, like, isn't it as we asked before, that I guess Sikor is referring to Tamar and Tame and Hagavim. Lo, no, it's not that way, kedemakshinon, it's the way we explained it before.
Right, this is like very much shorthand, right? But it's the same exact question. At some point it's repetitive, you're like, but question, no answer, right? That's what we. That's basically what we did. Okay, and we're going to do that one more time. Right, and in all these cases, we have two words, tzipor and kanaf, that we want a darshan to include three categories, and the question is, does of tummy go with tzipor, or does it go with kanaf? But in any event, we keep saying it goes with kanaf, that way tzipor is only for kosher birds, and we've kept our principle. Okay.
Okay. I think this is where I go more downhill, so if someone else wants to take over, then.
Okay. Yeah. Do we have a volunteer? Do you want to try it? No? You had your hand up before.
I know, because that's the one I
That was the good part. Okay. That's fine. Do we have another volunteer? Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So when it says like birds in the sky, that includes also non-kosher birds. If that just said birds, that would have only included tahar birds.
And what's the whole pasuk there? Yeah, sorry, you didn't translate yet, but I already jumped in. Yeah, what's the whole pasuk? Kol tzipor tahora. Tochelu, right? You can eat any kosher or any pure bird. Okay, so, yeah?
So if tzipor on its own implies tahora, then we wouldn't have needed to specify that it's tahora. If it specifies tahora, then it implies that there's also tzimet.
Right, so there must be some non-kosher tzipors that, as well, that you need to specify. Okay, so, and that implies tzipor is not only kosher birds, right?
So there's a bird that's tahor, but it's usher to eat. And that's what the pasuk is excluding. What is that? E trifa the head yipsi. So if we're talking about a trifa, so that says explicitly you're not allowed to eat.
And what's a trifa?
Animal that's going to die, presumed that it has a fatal disease.
Right. Okay.
The eve excluded the mitzora. So we're talking about a bird that's and the Torah brought as a carbon that's supposed to be shafted. The seed of the karnah. So we learned that out from the end of the pasuk.
Right, and notice what the answer we did before was, which is the species is still kosher animal, it's still a kosher bird, right? Because it's tzipor. For some side reason, it's usser, either because it's trefa, we rejected that, or for this other reason that it's being used in the mitzora. Now, just to tell everyone, what's this shchutas mitzora? What's the mitzora? What's the process here we're talking about? We're going to be talking about it for a while.
Two birds, and then you shuck one of them and some other one. I don't know.
Right, yeah. Part of the taharas mitzora, part of the purification process for a mitzora is you take two birds, and right, one of them you send away, the other one you shuck. It's parallel in a lot of ways to the Sir Lazazel and Sir Lashem, interestingly. And the Gemara itself draws a parallel here. So the question is, what about the one you shuck? Right, can you eat it? That's our issue here. So maybe we learn out from this pasuk you can't eat that. No, we have a different pasuk. V'zeh shelo tochlu mehem l'rabo shchutas mitzora. We already know that you can't eat the shchutas mitzora. Okay, so we're back to where we still have a problem here. Keep going.
So really, this pasuk is talking about shchutas mitzora. So it's just an extra pasuk. So now there's an asay and a los asay about not eating the.
Right. What's the ase and what's the los ase? Just to spell it out.
Ase is
Kotzipar Torah.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't
right.
eat birds that you like, not Kotzipar Torah. And then Zashavot Tuchuz, you shouldn't eat
Great. Right. Yeah. So, okay, we're good. Right. It's a lot of andanase, and we have all our right. We're all set.
No, I say no. But look, my the truth. Lava, lava, acid, was I say. Okay. So, excited. We can use two psukim to learn out an answer, so we can use that for the treifa. Why do we choose shvuta and tzora over the treifa? So the answer is a barha v'inyana. So v'inyana the shvuta. So we're talking about something that's like in the context, and like we're talking about the context of this tzora word, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So
or, yeah, and so and what? Where do we get this from? Dabar Halami Min Yano. Right, it's part of the right. The Bryce of Rishmal, the hermeneutical principles, whatever those are. Right, but the basic rules of how to read. This is not the most common one, but it's you know Dabar Halami Min Yano. Inyan mean. What does Inyan mean?
Measure.
So that's the translation. The more common translation, at least in more modern Hebrew, but in, at least in the Chazal, Inyan often means. Context, right? So Dabar Halami Minyano, as it was translated, you learn something from its context. You always read texts in context, and right, and it's Binyana de Shchuta, as Rashi, take a look at Rashi there to tell us what the Inyan of Shchuta, what the context of Shchuta is. It's like a third of the way down-ish. The next one.
So we're talking about animals we could eat. So like obviously we can't eat not shechted animals. So clearly we're talking about an animal that was shechted.
Right. That seems more relevant. Sorry.
Right. Then you would think that you could possibly eat.
Right. That's more relevant than treifa. Okay. And now we're going to have more troubles with our tzipori mitzora. Right. Trying to figure out how all our psukim work. So. If we have another volunteer, good. If not, I think we're going to keep you on the hook if we can't find anyone else. Okay, yeah, keep going if you're up for it.
Okay. Tashna, Shteiti Tzipori and Chaydos. So we're talking about these two birds from the Torah that it's supposed to bring. My Chaydos, what is the word Chaydos teaching us? Love Chaydos. It must be that it's talking about, like, when in your mouth, meaning that they're able to eat it.
Right, and therefore what? What would the problem? Yeah, keep going.
So implying that there are tziporim that you're not able to eat, meaning that tzipor includes both kosher and not kosher birds.
Mm-hmm.
So no, chayos means that they have all their limbs. But really, tzipor only refers to the kosher.
Right, again, the species has to be kosher, but there can be cases where the species of the bird is kosher, but if it's not, you can't eat it for whatever reason. Right, there's another example where the rush avarm are not chayos. It has some major injury. It's parallel, basically, to treifa, right? With a different pasuk, so we can learn it out. Yeah?
Okay, so tashma misifa, so now we're in the pasuk to horos. So it says, shteiti tzipporim chayos to horos, amichadi b'tayos. So then also, so it says that it's for a horos, that implies that there are tzipporim that are
tzipporim.
Lo amichadi ika treifos, so now it comes to exclude treifos. Okay, so we say treifos and chayos now. So no, so we should be able to learn out that you can't use a treifa from the word chayos. So we don't need toros.
Mm-hmm.
So that works if you say, according to those who say that treifa like, is still able to live. According to the one who says that a treifa is like for sure going to die, so that wouldn't work. So
right, because it's repetitive, right? If tahoros means as opposed to treifos. And chayos means they live, and you know, and by definition, treifa in a chaya. So then you've already excluded treifos from chayos, right? Just to, for a minute long excursus, what exactly is this discussion about treifa chaya or treifa in a chaya? Yeah.
I think it's specifically the 12-month mark, like whether it will live past 12 months or not.
Right. So there's a whole list of treifos in Chulin. Earlier in Chulin, the like different injuries that birds or animals have, and the question is, and if it has these injuries, it's not kosher. The question is it physically possible for an animal or bird to live 12 months if it has these injuries? And so, if you think treifa in a chaya, it'll definitely die within 12 months. Ironically, that ends up being a kula, because if you find that an animal does live 12 months, it must be didn't have that treifa, right? So you sort of the test of it, and if living 12 months is a test, that actually ends up being a kula. This actually comes up a bit in whether milk is kosher or not, but I'll leave that for another time because we wouldn't want to complicate the situation where we're drinking milk. So, it's a certain percentage of cows have injuries that officially are trefa, but they all seem to live 12 months. So, or not all, most of them. So this question whether trefa chai or not may impact that. In any event, for our purposes, it's just whether we identify the drasha of chayos and tehoros is basically the same thing. If tehoros means as opposed to trefos, and chayos means it lives, and trefa in a chaya, that's just totally repetitive. So that was question number one.
Ve'od.
Ve'od.
Ve'od. Ve'od. Ve'od. So we still learn trefos out from a different place. The Tana Zer of Yishmael, Nehmar Machshir of Chaver Bifnim, Nehmar Machshir of Chaver Bifut, Ma Machshir of Chaver Amar Bifnim, Asab of Machshir of Chaver, Af Machshir of Chaver Amar Bifut, Asab of Machshir of Chaver. So we have like Karbanos that are only Machshir, I guess.
And what are you right? What is the difference between Machshir and Machaper?
Machshir, what is it like allows you to bring
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certifies you. It lets you come back, right? And the Mechaper what?
Actually, it breaks apart.
Right, and look at Rashi. It spells out some of this. Right, meaning all these people bring a Karban Chatas. Right, the question is, right, think all of them bring a carbon chatas. The question is, why would you bring a carbon chatas if you didn't do a chet? Right, so the answer is that chatas does two different things. It's mechaper for a chet, right, it atones for a sin. So if you, I don't know, you eat chelev b'shogeg, you bring a carbon chatas. And a chatas also is machshir. It also allows you to enter the mikdash after some sort of tumah process that you went through. So for mitzora, or for yoledes, or a zav, in all those cases, it allows you to come back. So it's a machshir, not a machaper, because there was no avera per se. So these are the two different categories, and we're going to try to draw some connections and parallels between them. But yeah, question?
Yeah, I was confused why Rashi said that the machshir for the mitzvah is like the asham. Because like it's not, like an asham is not really usually brought as a machshir, whereas like a chatas is.
It's true, but what karbanos does the mitzvah bring? Does the mitzvah
not bring?
Pretty sure they do. I'm wrong. It's worth checking. I don't have my computer on me or Tanakh, but it's worth checking. But I assume that at least there's also an asham, right? And right, there is an asham mitzvah. So
right.
If there's no chet, the asham would also have to be, right? The asham is sort of, if it can't be mechaper, it has to be. So it's okay. So that's a question. I actually just wrote an article about this, so topic close to my heart, about to what extent tzara'as is a onesh versus just a disease you have that leads to a karban. So, yeah, there's different schools about that. I mean, there's a machlokes within Chazal about it. It's same thing for yoledes, right? The question about yoledes, some of the farshim say that yoledes makes a shvur, doesn't mean. So I think partially under the pressure of the idea that it's called a chatas and the implication there should be some chet, Chazal in some places find different chataos, but certainly pshat and chumash is a mitzora. You read Vayikra, you read those prakim, right? It's a disease. Same thing for zav, yoledes, zav, all these things. It's just, you know, a process you go through that involves tumah, and then you need a karban to resolve it, not that there's a chet. So again, Chazal have different views about that, but certainly the fact that we're calling it a machshir seems to imply we're on the view that there's not really an aver, or to the extent there's an aver, it's very much secondary. The main reason you're bringing it is to be machshir you to bring karbanos again.
Right. Is there ever a drasha for like zav and zavah?
I wasn't able to find that. Yeah, so it's not fully consistent, but there is a push in some of these cases to find an aver because it's a chatas, on the presumption that every chatas has an avera. But in pshat, that's not the case, right? So that's the difference between a machshir and a mechaper, right? A machshir is a karban chatas or asham that allows you to enter the mikdash, but you didn't necessarily do an avera. A mechaper is a chatas that resolves an avera you did. So what does it mean? Asabo machshir ki mechaper. Both what do we say? Both we have it both bachutz and bifnim. So what are the comparisons going on here? It's like a double comparison, right?
So it's like all the things that you need for a karbon that's a karbon, you also need for a karbon that's not.
Right, it's the same standard. Every chatas and every asham has the same standards as themselves, whether it's machshir or mechaper, right? It's the same type of karbon. This, I think, this also comes out, you know, where do we get this from? That asabo machshir ke mechaper, it's from just reading Chumash, right? It says, this is how you do a chatas. The process is the same in both cases. So it's asabo machshir ke mechaper, bifnim, because we have a lot of details about bifnim. What about bachutz? What's the machshir and a mechaper bachutz? Right, and what makes them bachutz?
They're not.
Right, they're outside. Right, you're sending the birds away, or you're sending the sa'ir away, or the bird, I should say, the single bird. Right, they're outside, and they're one's machshir, one's mechaper. Right, again, the metzora, let's assume the metzora didn't do an avera. Not that that's fully obvious, but we're assuming that. And sner mishtaleach is for averos. Right, in fact, it's, well, see, we can't stay away from Yom HaSugyos, right? The Sier Mishtaleach is Mechaper on basically all the Averos, right? Eskol Avonos B'nei Yisrael, Eskol B'Sheim Lechlecha Tosam. So you send it away with the Sire. So just like there's an equation between inside Machshir and Mechaper, inside Chataos, there's also a comparison between outside Machshir and Mechaper, whether you call the Sier Mishtaleach a Chatas or not, let's leave that aside, but they work the same way. Okay, and how? In what way are we comparing them? So just read the next two Rashi's. Asabo.
Asabo machshir k'mechaper. V'chol minei kashas tamara. Sharei gam machshir and craving hamur m'shalahem. So that would be the same level of kashar.
Right, and specifically, craving hamur m'shalahem. Right, burning certain parts of the karban on the mizbeach. Mm-hmm. And then af.
So af b'chutz of the machshir k'sipor m'chaper. Yer m'chaper is yer m'shalahem. V'asar b'mun. V'bayro o'il l'sham. So the Sier Mishtaleach could be brought, like it's like within water, so it could be brought to the carbon, so obviously it has to be drawn to be brought to the carbon.
Mm-hmm. And if it's true about the Sier Mishtaleach, it's also therefore true about the Tzipore Mitzora. Right, so right, that's what we said just now. As you just read, machshir ma machshir mechaper hamur mafnim asva machshir kimechaper af machshir mechaper hamur mechutz asva machshir kimechaper. And that drasha teaches us that it can't. What was that drasha teach us, and how is that a problem?
The tzipor can't be a
treifa. Tzipor can't be a treifa, right? Because a treifa is puzzle for a karban, and therefore what?
We don't have anything going out from where tzipores, which implies that tzipor includes both.
Right. Right, we've undone Tahoros and this maybe factors into the Tosfos we were talking about before, right? Chayos is also undone from Be'eri Shmuel, right? Because you now have Trefa, so you it's all redundant, and that, whatever, we're not going to read the Tosfos here, but that explains why Tosfos goes back on both the word Chayos and Tahoros and Darshan's both. Yeah?
But if, like, then the remaining question is that Sipor could imply also Tmeos, but what if we just say, we obviously would never think that you would bring a tamei bird as like the korban for the tzipor mitzvah. Like, if you can't bring, like, if we're saying it's obvious from the Be'er Bishmal that you can't bring a treifa, then, like, of course you can't bring a tamei also.
Well, it's not that it's obvious, it's that we have a drasha.
Right. So what does the drasha apply for a tamei now? Do you know what I mean? Like, then the word tahora would be extra, even if.
But we're not trying to darshan the word tzipor, we're trying to define the word tzipor. I think there's a difference here. Meaning, this sugya, we're not trying to say we can learn out from the word tzipor that it's kosher. We're trying to say that the word tzipor means a kosher bird. So I think, given that that's the case, it's not like, why say tzipor as opposed to not? That's just what the word tzipor means.
But even
I mean, wouldn't it be obvious that it's a tzipor? Okay, but you still need it. What are you going to call it?
Right, but even if it also meant tamei, I'm saying we would still, it would be fine. We wouldn't need to
speak. I guess technically if it had said shnei, what's the other word? Right, shnei ofos tahor. You know, technically that, you know, two birds. What type of bird? A kosher bird. I knew that already. Okay, it's just, why would you choose that word over this one? This one's more, like, closer, right? I assume that would be the response on the drasha calculus. Yeah. Okay, so we have a problem with both the drashos of chayos and tahoros. We're going to focus on tahoros. At least Rashi seems to say that. What do we darshan from this pasuk? Right? Why do we say that the tzvar mitzvah need to be tahoros? Do we have a new volunteer? It's Shelly has done her time, I think. But any other? No? Online? Oh, Rena, is that a question?
Oh, I can read from the...
Oh, yeah.
Hold on 1 second. I think I turned down the sound before.
How we turned down the sound?
Because it was...
too loud?
Well, it was also getting phone calls.
Check which audio it's using, because sometimes it's...
Say hello.
Okay, let's try this again. Rena?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
A bit more.
Okay, I wanted to ask, so I don't know the rules of this class. If I'm allowed to read Safaria, I would...
With English, you mean? I mean, I've no, there's no difference between Safaria, as long as it's the Hebrew Aramaic, it's fine. But I think...
Yeah, but I have to translate, so I could just look at the English.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't know if that's... If that's the only way I think at this level, I'm able to...
Fair enough. But then, I think
being honest.
Yeah. I think prefer working through the Hebrew if we can. So I don't know if you have a volunteer willing to do that. Or if not... Oh, yeah, you want seconds... Okay.
So Ella, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Lamutetzi Parit Yir Hanidacha. So our Nachman Bar Yitzchak says it's actually coming to exclude the birds that belong to like the idolatrous city, like after everyone in the city is destroyed, the like any like money and property is also Aser Bahana. So you can't bring a bird from that city as like the Tzipor in the Sorah.
Mm-hmm.
So we say Lamai, Yilu Shiluach, Lo Amar Torah Shalach Latakala, Ella L'Shlita. So we say which bird can be one of the Sipurei Yirnidachas. So if we're talking about the bird that's sent away, well, then we wouldn't need to be Mimaided at all, because we know that the Torah wouldn't tell us to send away a bird in order to, like, cause Takala, that if this bird is Aser Bahana and you just send it out into the world, then people will come to sin. So rather, it's talking about the bird that's Shechted, that also can't be from the Yirnidachas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and so that's one answer, right? That's what does Tahoros mean? And Tahoros is opposed to from the Yirnidachas. Because it's Aser Bahana, you could have thought you sheft it, you're not eating it, so why can't you use it as Aser Bahana? No, we have a drasha. Okay.
Rabba Amar, Lamehute Shilol Zabi Lacharet Kuda Chilchah. So Rabba says it's coming to exclude the possibility of, like, if you have Mitzorah A and he hasn't sent away his bird yet, so then you take Mitzorah B and you say you use this bird that hasn't been sent away yet as your bird, and then bring another bird also.
Mm-hmm.
So we say Lamai again, like, which bird are we talking about? So if we say you can't use it as your shlita bird, well, that's already obvious because it's a bird that still needs to be sent away. So of course it can't be shechted. So ela l'shiluach. Rather, we're saying that no, you can't use it for your own shiluach. And I have to the pun if you can't kill two birds with one stone.
No, that's good. But it's shiluach though. That's right. We reject
really
that. We reject that smart. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right. And the idea is you can't double dip or something like that. Right. The bird needs to be a normal bird that you then send away, as opposed to a bird that was already needed to be sent away, you know, to save on the bird costs. You can't do that. Okay.
Rav Papa Amar, Litziporim Shechlipu, Litziporei Avodah Zarah. So Rav Papa says it's coming to exclude a bird that was, like, bought with money that, like, you sold Avodah Zarah, like, you sold Avodah Zarah to an non-Jew, and in return you got these birds.
Right, and just in general, there's, well, I guess, well, yeah, we'll darshan this in a sec, yeah?
So we darshan the pasuk that it says like about Avodah Zarah that it should be like chayr and kimohu. So we say any like thing that comes from it, like any derivative of Avodah Zarah, is treated like Avodah Zarah in that it's aser b'hana'ah.
Right. Now, although here I wouldn't use the word derivative per se because it's a trade, right? But the point is, just think about it, right? You have something that's aser b'hana'ah, Avodah Zarah. You don't want to lose it, so you sell it to a non-Jew, and you make money, and then you've solved your problem, right? That doesn't actually work. That whatever you sell for it becomes aser b'hana. And the drush here is interesting. V'hayisa cherem kamo, we say kol mashata mehaye heimenu, which is a funny word, like to make, to bring into being, I think, from him. But, you know, it's basically the trade. Whatever you make, I guess that's a good word, whatever you make off of your Avodah Zarah, in terms of the trade, becomes aser Bahana, just like it, and that's why you can't use it for your Tzipori Mitzorah. Okay? And by the way, this is a little odd, because we want to say Ela L'shiluach. The word Tahoros teaches that you can't use something you traded for Avodah Zarah for the Tzipori Mitzorah. So we're going to run into an issue of redundancy, right? It's ready, Aser Bahana. But yeah, keep going.
Right, so we say Ela L'shiluach, Lo Amar Torah, Shalach L'Takala. Right? If we're saying that you can't send away this bird, we already know that, because like you wouldn't be able to send away something that's Aser Bahana and then create a Takala situation for everyone. So we say no, Ela L'shlita, that you also can't use it as your tzipor that you do the shlita on.
Right, and again, no one's eating it, so why couldn't you? That's why we need a drasha of Tahoros not to eat the bird, not to use that for your shechita. No, sorry, not to use the asarana bird for shechita. Okay.
Ravina Amar, Hacha b'maya skinan, ba'ov shari asanafesh. So Ravina comes again with his favorite answer that here we're talking about a bird that like kills someone. So he chidami, what's the case of this bird? He is a gamar dina bar katela hip. So if this bird already got his gamar din, then he's a bar katela, he needs to be stoned. Obviously, like he's already presumably like amazing, right? How do you get here to be used by the mitzora? So ela kodem gamar dina. So rather, it's before the gamar din. So lemai yila shiluach ba'yila suya leveidina v'kiyuma ubear tahara mikirbacha ela l'shlita. So if we say that it's to send it away, but it can't be sent away, we have to bring it to Bezin in order to fulfill the obligation of like removing evil from our midst. So rather, it's coming to tell you that you can't shef it, because I might have thought like that's a great way to do ubear tahara mikirbacha. I could just shef this bird and then it will be no more. But no, because it's a horos, you can't.
Right. Okay. Good. So we have several different approaches as to how to understand the word Tahoros there, which was a bit of a tangent. At the end of the day, though, we've defended our thesis, a little bit bedocha, but we've defended the thesis that tzipor means a kosher bird, which is why kikare kan tzipor lefanecha lemitzvah shiluach hakein only applies to kosher birds, not to non-kosher birds. Okay, good. Success. Okay, I guess I'll pick up reading here at the two dots at the bottom of Kuf Mem. I'm assuming most people didn't prep this, so I'll try to move it more slowly if that's... That makes sense for our remaining time. So, Ov Tamei Rovates Al Beitzei Ov Tahor, right? And that's from our Mishnah. He commented on it at the time. The Mishnah says, where is it? Ov Tamei Rovates Al Beitzei Ov Tahor. The Tahor Rovates Al Beitzei Ov Tamei Pater, right? If a non-kosher bird is crouching over kosher eggs, or vice versa, kosher bird is crouching over non-kosher eggs, then you're pater in such a case. Okay. So the Gemara says, Bishlama of Tamei Rovetz al Beitzei Tahor Ba'inan Tzipor Veleka. Right? It's pretty clear. If the mother bird is not kosher and the eggs or the chicks are kosher, Ba'inan Tzipor Veleka, it says, Kikari Kan Tzipor Lefanecha. This is not Kan Tzipor. This is a Kan Of. Right? Because it's not kosher, as we just said. Ella, Of Tahor Rovetz al Beitzei Of Tamei. But if it's a kosher bird that has non-kosher chicks, hatzipor hu, then it's a kosher bird. It's a tzipor. So why would it not apply? Who cares if the eggs are kosher or not? So our answer is kida amar Rav Kahana tikach lach v'lo lichlavecha. You write the whole point is shaleach tishalach as a aim. The esabarim tikach lach. You send away the mother bird and you take the eggs. Well, here, it's not kosher. You have to be able to take it and eat it, not that you take it and feed it to your dog. So that's the drasha. That's his drasha. Hachanami, tigach lach v'lo l'chavecha. We can apply that here as well, that even if the mother is, even if the mother bird is kosher, if the eggs are not kosher, you're pater. Okay, v'hecha itmar d'Rav Kahana. Well, we quoted this thing from Rav Kahana, but where did he say it? Right, we saw it previously in Rashi. That's also not helpful. Where is the original place where this teaching of Rav Kahana comes from? Aha, the Tanya, on this thing that was taught, im trefa chayav bishiluach, efrochim trefos pater mishiluach. Right, so this is an interesting distinction, right? We talked about trefa before, a bird that has some fatal injury. So if the mother is a trefa, you're still chayav in shiluach. Because why not, right? You're still, I guess, you know, torturing people with, you know, late-stage diseases or animals with late-stage diseases is still a problem, right? But if frochim trefos pater mishiluach, if the chicks are trefos, are going to die, you're pater. Why? So minahi mili, what's the source? Amar Avkana, Amar Kra, tikach lach, v'lo l'chlavecha, you're supposed to be able to take it for yourself, as opposed to leaving it for your dogs. If the chicks are trefos, right, if birds that are trefos are not kosher, so you should eat, you won't be able to eat them, so therefore you're pater from shiluach hakein. The hakish aim hatrefa aim trefa lefrochim my frochim trefos pater mishiluach af aim trefa nami pater mishiluach. So then the question is, right, in the hay there is sort of this phantom extra hay, but why not make a hekesh, right? Just like the chick, you know, the chicks are just like the mother, just like the chicks, rather, you're putter if they're trefos because you can't eat them. So too with the mother, you'd be putter as well. Well, so then what do we say? Imkain, tzipor, lema'ute, oftame, lamali. If this is the case, that the mother needs to be edible, just like the chicks, then what would we need the drusha, and maybe this undermines a bit what I was saying before, why would we need the drusha of tzipor as opposed to a non-kosher bird, right? If you already have this drusha that we would have had, that the mother needs to be a non-trefa, just like the chicks, so too the mother should have to be edible, just like the chicks, so you shouldn't need to say tzipor, you could say ofer, whatever else, and automatically you'd assume the mother has to be edible. V'atanya, aim efrochim, trefa, chayev b'shiluach. But we also have a brisa that says if the mother of the chicks or the eggs is a trefa, you still need to send it out. Look at Rashi. We think this means as follows: iman shel efrochim shehein trefos. Right. So it's a little syntactic ambiguity here. We thought that meant the mother of chicks that are trefos. V'aim ksheira chayev shaleach. Right, this representing this vihatanya we're presenting as a challenge to Rav Kahana that we said before, right? Because it says, at least the way we're reading it now, eim efrochim trefa chayv b'shiluach. The mother of chicks that are trefa, you still need to send out. But according to what we saw from Rav Kahana, if the chicks are trefos, then it's aser b'achila, and you don't send it out. Amar Rabbi Hachikamar, Efroach she'iman trefa chayav b'shiluach. No, you're getting it wrong. Not that the chicks are trefos, but the mother's a trefa. In that case, you need to send it out. Why? Because the chicks are edible, right? Licha and not klavecha, right? You can actually eat it. The mother is not kosher, but it doesn't really matter. And as we said before, we don't extend the drusha from the chicks to the mother, that the mother needs to be edible as well. So that's the response we have to the challenge to Rav Kahana. Okay, any questions on this so far? Yeah?
Wait, didn't we say before that because of tzipor, the mother does need to be kosher?
That was, the mother needs to be a kosher species, but not edible.
Oh, it could be a trefa.
Could be a trefa, exactly.
The species
is kosher, the animal's a trefa, therefore it's not edible. Okay. Since we don't make the drusha extending from the chicks to the mother, you would have the mitzvah shiluch hakein, even though the mother's a trefa. As long as it's a kosher species. Yeah. Other questions, clarifications? Okay. So, by Rav Hoshia. Okay, so now we have some of these ibayos, like theoretical questions, or, I don't know, maybe practical questions. Hoshit yado likain vishacha miyotzimanim mahu. So, right, get an idea of this one. So you go to the bird's nest, right? There's the mother, there's the chicks, and you go and shecht the minority of the simanim, right? Generally with birds, you need to shecht the majority of the pipes. Technically, you only need one, but we see both. You only shecht the minority. So until you shecht the majority of the pipe, it's not yet kosher, right? So this bird is like halfway shechted, okay? So mahu, what's the din? Mi amrinan, kevan de ilu shavik luhu, mitrafi, ba'inan l'chav lo l'chavecha. Do we say, since if you leave it like this, right, what's going to happen? It's going to bleed out. Or I guess even if it doesn't bleed out, it has a trefa. Its windpipe is partially cut open, or whichever pipe, right? So that's going to be a trefa. So it's l'chav lo l'chavecha. It's not, it's since it's going to be a trefa, as it stands, it's trefa, so it's not edible. Since it's not edible, there's no mitzvah shiluch hakein. Since there's no mitzvah shiluch hakein, you can take it, finish the shechita, and then eat it. See what he did there? It's very, very sneaky, right? So does that work? Oh, Dilma, so do we say that logic? Oh, Dilma, kevan debiyadu lemigmar shchita tigach lach karina bay v'chayev b'shiluach. Or do we say, I don't really care that theoretically right now, if it stands as is, it would be a trefa, and you couldn't eat it, and therefore you should be patur? No, the fact of the matter is you can finish it, right? So like, is this, can you close this loophole by saying that, okay, right now it's not yet kosher, but it can be easily fixed to be kosher, and therefore you could eat it, and therefore the whole mitzvah, the mitzvah would still apply, and it would be usher to take? And the answer is teku, right? We're not sure. Sort of leave it open. Okay. By Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah also has an ibaya, a question like this. Matlis mahu shetachotz. So matlis, just the, ignore the mem, it's just the talis, right? Matlis is just a sheet of some sort. Can it be chotze? Rashi explains, matlis prusa ala beitzim v'im rovetzis aleha, right? It's on the eggs. You have eggs. You have a blanket of some sort on top of the eggs, and the mother's crouching over them. Does that count as crouching, right? The pasuk says, v'im rovetzis ala efrochim v'abeitzim. The mother's crouching over the eggs or chicks. Well, if there's a sheet in between, then it's not. Maybe it's a chatzitza. It separates between them. So if it's a chatzitza, then you'd be pater. That's question number one. Knafayim ma'u she'achutzin. Rashi explains, notza tlusha, meaning detached feathers. What if there's a layer of detached feathers? Would that be chotzeitz? Beitzim muzaros mahu. What about, beitzim muzaros is like a non-viable egg, right? An egg that's not going to be, not going to hatch. I think most of our, I don't know, probably most of our eggs that we eat, hopefully, are beitzim muzaros, right? Rashi says, she'en efroch bameyem. So there's no mitzvah there, right? Because it's not really a baby. It's sort of a waste product or something like that. So would those be chotzeitz, right? You have a lower level of real eggs, an upper level of beitzim muzaros, non-viable eggs. Are those chotzeitz if the mother's not directly on top of them?
But you can do shiluah hakam for non-viable eggs if you want to eat them.
I mean, you're putter, so you could do whatever you want. But you're not really torturing the mother because it's not her babies.
So
I don't know if the mother knows that. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Let me just finish one more line, okay. And then we'll take some questions. So shnei sidrei beitzim zol gavzo mahu. What about two different layers of eggs? Right. This is like a real hen house here. There's a whole. There's eggs on top. Eggs on eggs. And what about the lower level? Right. Is it a chatzitza? The mother's not directly touching them. Zachar al gavi beitzim unakeva al gavi zachar mahu. Let's say the male. The rooster is sitting on the eggs or whatever other species, and the mother hen is on top, is sitting on the rooster. What about that? Is that a chatzitza or not? Teku. In all these cases, we're not sure, and no clear answer. Okay, questions. Yes, Rina.
Okay, so in the case that there is like a bird that's half shefted, how is that, first of all, kosher shechita in the first place to like have like some type of a break in shechita, because isn't like the whole point of shechita to do it really fast? A and B, my second question is, can you clarify what's the sneaky thing about that case that you said? Because you said, oh, isn't that sneaky? And I didn't understand what's sneaky.
Sure. So in terms of is it a kosher shechita? Probably people wouldn't certify that nowadays because we'd say it's like shehiya, but it's probably also theoretically possible to do it in a kosher way. You just partially cut and quickly pause, take it, and then finish it. So I wouldn't do it. Don't try it at home. But there probably is a way to make that work. In terms of why it's sneaky, well, think about it, right? You go to a nest. You don't want to, like, what you're supposed to do is send away the mother bird and then take the chicks. You don't want to do that. So instead what you do is you stick your knife in, you half cut the chick. Then you're like, okay, now I don't need to do shidduch cane. You just take it. You chef the rest of it. You don't send away the mother bird. So you've basically, that's a loophole. But like it's more like a truck that you drove through the mitzvah than a loophole that you went through.
Wait, but that's not, if it's a loophole, then that's probably not allowed. It's the whole idea of it is that it has to be like a shefted.
Well, that's the question. That's the exact question
of the Gemara. I mean, you can't really, I don't think halakhically they would ever allow something like that.
Well, I think the Gemara's not sure. You're more certain than the Gemara then. Right? The Gemara has a take on this. Yeah. It definitely seems wrong.
I mean, if it's accidental, I think it depends on the kavana in that case. Because, like, I think in general, like, in halacha, we don't really allow, like, loopholes with, like, the kavana of it being a loophole. If it so happens that the person didn't really think that they need the eggs, they started shechting the animal, the bird, and then they're like, and then they realize they actually want the eggs, then that would be a different situation.
Right.
If they're like, oh, like, I found a loophole, and then probably that wouldn't be okay.
So I think there's a large discussion over loopholes or ha'aramos, as they're called. So by a raise of hands, who here, either they or their family, sells chametz over Pesach? Okay, that's a decent number of people. Who here, or probably no one will know the answer to this, relies on a heter iska? The answer is probably a lot of people or their family, right? Heter iska is when you lend with interest, but because you make it into a business deal instead of a loan, formally, you can effectively lend with interest and circumvent the prohibition. If we lived in Israel, I'd ask who's relying on heter mechira, the selling of the land of Israel, to Gentiles to subvert or circumvent the prohibition of Shemitah, the prohibitions of Shemitah, and a lot of hands would go up. Yes. So there are many areas of halacha where there are loopholes, and many people rely on them. How happy Chazal and the Rishonim are about these things is a different question, right? But definitely there are such loopholes. Not in all areas of halacha, and there's different views as to what one should and shouldn't do, but they definitely exist. Our question here is sort of on the halachic, on the halachic technicalities. I think someone who thinks that Shiloh HaKein is an important mitzvah, or that torturing birds is bad, would advise against doing it, even if it were mutter, right? But at least in terms of the pure halacha, the Gemara here doesn't decide that one way or the other. I see there's a couple, there's at least one more hand. Or I saw two, but one's down now. Yeah?
Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, looks like your hand's up.
So I wanted to know why with the Agave Zahar, why would we not say Min B'mino Eino Chotzeit?
Yeah, so I think that's part of the Hava Mina, right? Because we're definitely, we distinguish between, let's say you might have thought, well, it depends on how you read it, so let's put that on the side. Yeah, I think that's part of the logic, meaning if it were just like a big block, a big bird-shaped piece of wood, probably there'd be no Havamina, right? You'd say that's a big Chatzitza. Since it's Min B'mino, you might say it counts, but at the same time, it's not necessarily Rovetzes.
What if it's female birds? Would that be different?
I don't think that would be different. It doesn't sound like it, but I think part of...
I also think that with the eggs on top of the eggs...
Right. These are good questions. I think if we were spending more time on this, we'd go into details. The one lumdish move that's always good to make in these sorts of contexts is, on the one hand, min b'mino eino chotzeit, so maybe it's not a chatzitza. On the other hand, does it count as touching? So some achronim are mechalik. Even when you say min b'mino eino chotzeit, it's not a chatzitza, still it doesn't qualify as touching. Or in this case, it doesn't qualify as rovetzes. Al ha'efrochim, right? Maybe it's not quite al ha'efrochim if there's something in the middle, even if it's not a chatzitza. So maybe the question is, what's our standard? Is our standard having a chatzitza versus not having a chatzitza, or is our standard counting as rovetzes and sort of positively touching? So I think there's a lot of different, like if we wanted to do this b'ian, we could spend a lot of time on it, but unfortunately we lack that time and we want to get to other things. But yeah, great questions.
Okay.
Was there one more hand? Speak now. Ooh, did we freeze? No? Okay. If anyone else has a question, speak now, or else we're going to move forward. So one more ba'i. Ba'i Rav Zeira. Yona al beitze tasil mahu. These are different species, right? I don't know exactly what a tasil is, but it's not a yona. So you have right one species on another one. And tasil al beitze yona mahu, and the flip side. Amar Abaye Tashma Of Tame Rovetz Obetzi Of Tahor Vetar Rovetz Obetzi Of Tame Pater. Our Mishnah said kosher bird on non-kosher bird or on non-kosher eggs or non-kosher bird on kosher eggs is Pater Mishiluach Hatahor Vetahor Chayav. The implication is if both species were Tahor, even though they're different species, even if it's not mother and child, it's not the same species at all, as long as they're both kosher, you'd be Chayav. And then we say no, Dilma Bikora Bikore rather. Rashi says Dilma Hadatani b'tar b'tar chayav b'korei nekeva d'min hago b'kach. Right, it's normal for the korei bird to hijack other eggs and sit on them, but maybe other birds, such as the tasil and the yona, which don't usually hijack eggs and sit on them, it wouldn't apply. It would only be maybe only a korei and not other birds. So that's a question. Let's try to do the last section here as we're running out of time. So korei zachar. Right, a male korei that sits on an egg. What's the halacha? Machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says you are chayiv and shulchan chamim. Say you're putter. I'm Rabbi Abba. My time is Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Eliezer who says you're chayiv? Asya degira degira. Ksiv hacha korei dagar velo yalad. Right, talks about this korei bird that sits on the egg but didn't give birth to it. Ksiv hasam uvakav dagra bitzila. So and Rashi mahasim degira me'alia d'bemino mishtaikra afacha degira me'alia. There, it's sitting on it, and it's the same species, and it's a normal sitting. It's a normal egg hatching relationship. Same thing here. So it should qualify, and that's a korei. It's a male korei, and it's still able to sit on it, and therefore you're chayev. It means to like sort of sit on the egg, right?
Is that a Gzeret
Shava over there? Yeah, Gzeret Shava. Amar Rabbi Elazar, and this is not the Rabbi Elazar of the Mishnah, this is a different Amar Rabbi Elazar, Machlokes, Bekore Zachar, Al Bekore Nekeva, Divrei Kol Chayav. The whole discussion is about a male Kore. Obviously, it's of a female Kore, then you're Chayav, because it's no different than any other kosher species. Pshita, Kore Zachar Tanan. The Mishnah says Kore Zachar, a male Kore. So why are you telling us this? This is obvious. Ma'o detema rabbanon afilu kori nekeva patri. Maybe the rabbanon even excuse, even say you're patri in a case of a female kori. V'hadikatani zachar lo diachik hochel Rabbi Elazar. The only reason we specify zachar is that Rabbi Elazar says even a male kori is chayev. Kamash mola, no, that everyone agrees that a female kori, one would be chayev. Why would you distinguish in theory? You might say these koris are easy come, easy go, right? They're not they're hijacking other birds' eggs. Maybe that they're just sort of excluded. But no one actually holds that. The whole discussion is about male koreis. For Amar Belazar, machlokes bekorei zachar. Belazar says the whole dispute is about a male korei, avobik zachar. The alma, they're very called putter. But everyone would agree, a different kosher bird that's male would not be a chayven in shidduch hakeim. Pshita, korei zachar tanan. The Mishnah says korei zachar. Ma'ad etem, Rabbi Elazar, afilu zachar. The alma mechayv. We might have thought, Rabbi Elazar even holds that any other male kosher bird you'd be chayev to do shiloh again. V'haydik atani kori zachar liyecha kochan derabanan. The reason we specify a male kore is that even the rabbanan, right? That the rabbanan would even, the rabbanan would even exclude a male kore. Kamash malan, that the debate is about. Only the Kore Zachar and not other male birds. Tanya Nami Hachi, Zachar Da'alma Pater, Kore Zachar, Rabbi Elazar Mechayev, Chamin Pater. The Braisa clarifies it that a male is definitely Pater, except for the Kore where there is some Machlokes. So that's the end of this section. A lot of interesting things here we won't have a chance to get into. But our plan is tomorrow we'll pick a couple of pieces on the next Daf Plus that are relevant for the Sugya of how exactly Shiloh Kein works and what the mitzvah is on, what actions are usher, what actions are mitzvah. And then the final day, we'll do the final sugya.